When's the last time you heard the phrase food insecurity? In other words, food shortage. If you live in America, you're thinking to yourself, food shortage in America? I can go anywhere fast food. I don't have to worry about this stuff. Why should I even spend time learning about food insecurity? Here's why. Because in the last 3 years, when it comes down to how many people can't find their next meal, according to World Food Program, 345 million people worldwide do not know where their next meal is going to come from. So you may say, what's the big deal about 345 million? Here's what's big deal about it. It's doubled, not in 20 years, not in 10 years, not in 5 years. It's doubled in 3 years. And why is this important? What does it have to do with the price of fertilizer? And what does it take to make fertilizer? Nitrogen, phosphate, and you have potash. Who has that? Where do we buy that from? Does this have to do anything with Belarus, Russia, Ukraine? Is that why this is taking place? Are wars hurting this? Wait till you see some of this data here, but it's something you need to know about. And I'll give you the last thing to be thinking about before we get into the episode. An article just came out a couple days ago. The most expensive Big Mac meal you want to buy in America at a Connecticut McDonald's, it's over $18. The combo ends up costing that person buying it roughly $21. So you may want to learn a little bit about this food insecurity, because what it takes to make it could affect the states. Okay, so if you get value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Let's get right into it. 70% of the world's hungry people living in areas afflicted by war and violence. 70%. Now, let's go a little deeper. Since the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022, Ukrainian exports of grain have been severely disrupted. For over 4 months, Russian military vessels blocked Ukrainian ports in the Black Sea. Between July 22 and July 23, there was an agreement between the United Nations, Turkey, and Russia to allow exports via a safe maritime humanitarian corridor in the Black Sea. Over 1,000 ships full of grain and other foodstuffs left Ukraine from 3 Ukrainian ports during the implementation of the initiative. On July 17th of 2023, Russia announced its decision to end the Black Sea Grain Initiative. So meaning, they were not letting them out, then you can. Then all of a sudden they're like, nope, you can't do this. We're putting a stop to this. And this affects everybody because they're one of the biggest exporters of that product, as you see here shortly. Russia and Ukraine together accounting for 1/3 of world's global wheat trade, 17% of global maize trade, and almost 75% of global sunflower oil trade. And prior to Russia's invasion, Ukraine provided 11% of the world's wheat and 17% of corn. So since the invasion, the average price of shipping agriculture products increased from $30 to $200 a ton. That's 7x in 2 years, less than 2 years. 7x in less than 2 years. February 24, 2023, U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates that exports of wheat in the past 6 months have been approximately 37% lower than the prior year. Now, this is important because exporting matters to us. Exporting matters. There's certain products we don't have in America that we need from others, right? Watch what China is doing. China's maintaining its food stockpiles at a historical high level. Why is China hoarding their stuff? Why do they not want to play ball with other people? They're picking things up, but they're hoarding on everything else. The WFP predicts that by 2023, there would be a shortage of wheat and corn, which are the two staple products in the food supply chain. The reports also estimate that these global food shortages will increase food prices and even trigger a new global recession. And if we look at the list of countries with bans on food exports, this is what you would see. Argentina on soybean oil and soybean meal. This ban expires December 31st. Algeria, you got pasta, wheat derivatives, vegetable oil and sugar. Egypt, you got vegetable oil. You got wheat, flour, oils, lentils, pasta, beans. India's got wheat. Indonesia's got palm oil and palm kernel oil. Iran's got potatoes, eggplants, tomatoes, onion. Kazakhstan's got wheat, wheat flour. This keeps going over in all these other places. Kosovo, Turkey, Ukraine, Russia, which has got sugar, sunflower, wheat, meslin, rye, barley, maize. Serbia's got wheat, corn, flour, oil. Tunisia, Kuwait. So do you remember early when we talked about the Black Sea Grain Initiative between Russia and Ukraine, where it's like, hey, we got to get kind of the exporting going again? If you look at this chart here, this shows you what was going on during Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Look at the left and you'll see green is grains and oil seeds, and you'll see blue is wheat. Look what happened to the prices, how quickly it went up from 220 all the way up to 360, or from 260 all the way up to 340. This is not good for everybody else. And then they come up with a deal. Once they come up with a deal, what happens to the prices with the Black Sea Grain Initiative? It decreases, decreases, decreases. And then what does Russia do on July 17, 2023? They end the initiative. If you look at trends, these numbers should be going back up here shortly as well, because of the initiative ending. So look, I've been in the financial industry since 9/11, the day before 9/11, and I've owned stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, crypto, gold, you name it, I've owned it. But the one thing that's very important part of my portfolio all these years is gold. I love having a percentage of my net worth in gold that I have access to in case of many different things. A few facts you need to know about gold. Number one, the gold market cap is $11.8 trillion. Since 2000, the compound annual growth rate for gold has been 9.24%. And during times of high inflation, 3% plus has been 15.35%. Now, those are just some numbers for you, but there's some other benefits to add gold to your portfolio. Number one, hedge against inflation. Number two, results showed recently that 93% of central banks are working on a CBDC. So this means what? That could be a manipulated currency that they own. If you own gold, it's a non-duplicatable asset. You're now hedging against CBDC taking place. Number three, a potential cyber threat. If it happens, you don't have access to your money, you don't have access to your accounts, well, you have access to your hard physical gold. Number four is anonymous. No one knows you have that gold. And last but not least, diversification. That's why we chose to work with our new sponsor, American Hartford Gold. If you have retirement funds that you cannot afford to lose, American Hartford Gold will ship physical gold or silver directly to your door. Also, if you have retirement funds that you can't afford to lose, now is the time to call American Hartford Gold, a precious metal dealer you can trust. They have the finest products, amazing customer service, and a buyback commitment. They've earned a five-star rating from thousands of reviews and an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau. Tell them I sent you and they'll send you up to $5,000 worth of free silver on your first order. So click on the link in the description or call 866-939-6984. Again, 866-939-6984. So on top of that, the other thing we need to look at is fertilizer price. Why are price of fertilizers going up? Why do many farmers in America, why can't they afford to buy fertilizers to produce more food? They need that. If they don't have fertilizer, they can't produce it. So where's the holdup? Look at this chart here. Look at pricing. 2019, less than 100. 2020, less than 30, 40 bucks. 2021, there was moments it hit super, super low. 2022, and then today, 157 is what we're looking at compared to where we were before. And these prices are not necessarily slowing down anytime soon. So where does fertilizer come from? One is nitrogen, which is primarily produced in the US. It only takes natural gas and we've got plenty of it, says Rule, adding that there are significant nitrogen production plants scattered throughout the Midwest, Southern Plains, and Gulf Coast areas. So one way to see it is it's got a correlation with gas prices, natural gas prices. If gas prices go up, nitrogen is gonna go up because they kind of correlate with each other. So you may say, Pat, who cares if we can do it ourselves? Why are we worried about nitrogen? Well, I'm just telling you, that's one area where we're okay with, because if you look at these charts here, here's what you'll notice. China's first by a mile, then it's us, then India, Russia, Indonesia, Egypt, Canada, Pakistan, Iran, and others. So let's look at the second one, which is phosphate. The majority comes from Florida with a small volume imported from Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Jordan. Countervailing duties on Morocco and Russia have slowed imports from those countries. And if we look at the leader's bulletin on phosphate, here's what you'll notice. China is first, US and India are pretty much tied, then it's Russia, Morocco, Brazil, Saudi Arabia. However, when we look at potash, this is the problem. 90% of the potash that's used in the Midwest comes from Canada on rail cars. Only three countries in the world have significant amounts of potash: Canada, Russia, and Belarus. Matter of fact, if you look at the leader's bulletin here, here's what it looks like. Number one is Canada, then it's China, then Russia, then Belarus, then Germany, Israel, Jordan, Chile, Laos, Spain. On some lists, we're 11th, on some 15th, on some 13th, but we're not even the top 10. So notice the chart I just showed you. It shows China as second, right? But if we go to 2021, right before the war, look what China looked like. On this chart here, this is 2021 number. First place is Canada, then it's Russia, then it's Belarus, then it's China. What's the problem? Belarus and Russia ain't doing anything right now because of the war. So that's why China just, boom, bumps the other two out and goes to second place. This is why the Russia-Ukraine is causing food insecurity in different parts of the world. So now this gets you thinking about farmers' finances on the line, because at the end of the day, they need to get to work. They need to be able to make money. If there's no incentive for them, why are they going to do what they're going to do? And they need money to go buy this stuff to produce what they're producing, right? A report from the University of Missouri found that the net farm income in the state is projected to decrease by 14% this year, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture anticipates national farm income to fall by 19%. Meanwhile, farmers' input costs have increased, you ready, since 2020? 55%. That's a lot of money. 55% it's increased. So to break down that increase, here's what it looks like. Fertilizer accounts for about a third of those annual costs, and it now costs farmers nearly 73% more than it did in 2020, but farmers continue to buy because they don't have a choice. It offers a good return on investment, said Ray Massey, a professor in MU's College of Agriculture, Food and Natural Resources. So if you're watching this saying, man, these guys are getting killed in America, but that's because they have the dollar. Imagine other countries where their currency is getting devalued. month after month after month. Imagine what they're dealing with. Their numbers are not 73%. It's much more than 73%. This is an America we're talking about. So the second factor for food insecurity is drought. South America is experiencing a severe drought for the third consecutive year, the worst in a century, primarily due to the La Nina phenomenon that has persisted since 2020. The countries most affected are those produce a significant amount of food for the world, Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, Uruguay. In 2021, these four countries accounted for approximately 13% of the global food and fiber exports. And they lead the commercialization of soybean, soybean meal, and pellet soybean oil, frozen, cellulose, cane sugar, poultry, and coffee, and account for a significant share of the global supply of wheat, fish fillets, pork, chilled beef, wine, fruits, and fruit juice. Next factor, which we love, but it's a problem. Why? Just in time. You've heard of just in time before. It's a great thing, but there's some problems behind it. Let me explain. A just-in-time inventory system is a management strategy that has a company receive goods as close as possible to when they are actually needed. This inventory system minimizes inventory and increases efficiency. This allows manufacturers to not be left with unwanted inventory if an order is canceled or not fulfilled. For just-in-time manufacturing to succeed, companies must have steady production, glitch-free plant machinery, and reliable suppliers. Look, there's a lot of pros. Obviously, it's got a lot more pros than cons, but when we have an inventory issue or ships are getting stuck at Panama Canal because they have problems or it's going to take long, this is problematic for that, and that's the season today. So the just-in-time is great. When everything is moving smoothly, it's not doing it today. So look, final thoughts on this topic here. Am I sitting here telling you to go, you know, stockpile a bunch of food and just kind of be worried about the world coming to an end? U.S. is probably going to be the last country that's going to, you know, feel the residual effects of this. But should you be prepared for it? Yeah, probably. I've been in the insurance industry for over 20 years. Everything to me is in case. Buy an insurance policy in case. Auto insurance policy in case. All of these things are in case. Water, dried food, canned food, look at the expirations. There's plenty of companies that offer you to have this stuff in case something were to happen. If you can't afford to do that, you ought to consider doing that. It'll be a long time till the U.S. gets affected by this. Monetarily, we will be, but in a way where you're going to be not knowing how to find your next meal, not going to happen anytime soon in the States. If you got value out of this video, give it a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. One thing that gives me a lot of confidence about the future, it may not be a concept you know a lot about. Maybe you've not heard a lot about it. Musk's brother was participating in this thing. It's called vertical farming. If you've never seen the video we did on vertical farming, click here to watch it. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.